prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Have you been wondering where I am? Where I've been? Oh, man, I'll tell you in a minute. Let me get Rob on here real quick so we can talk about this. Carl decided to go on a cruise.
Calling all Blueprint Army. Fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
How you doing, Rob?
Well, Carl, I'm much like you, fighting off a cold that I probably got from my wife, who unfortunately came down with it while she was on her European cruise.
So she took, you know, she took a cruise also, right?
She flew over there to Italy, and then I think they cruised to Greece and a few other places.
So she was on a river cruise then?
I don't know. That's a good question. Okay. Open ocean or river?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but needless to say, you know, you get sick on a vacation like that. Maybe,
No. I've come to the conclusion. So Elisa always wanted to cruise on the Queen Mary II. It's a prestigious transatlantic cruise ship. It has a history that is unbelievable. It was used to transport military infantrymen. I'm going to be doing this all day, so bear with me. During World War I and World War II. And you know, they painted it gray. They took all the amenities out of it. Then they put the amenities back in. And she's still at work, you know, taking people from the UK to the United States and all over the globe. It's an amazing ship. It only holds about 2,000 passengers, which is small by today's standards. Some of these cruise ships today hold 8,000, 10,000 passengers. But anyway, okay. So tip number one. If you take a cruise and there are sick people on the cruise ship, you will be sick too. It's a commune. It's communal. You people are coughing. They don't, and especially the kind of people who take cruises, I'm sorry to say this, most of them, by and large, are very old, very sickly, very out of shape. Their whole day revolves around drinking booze and eating food all day long. They cough constantly. They don't even cover their mouths when they go. We were on a hop on hop off bus tour, which was one of the excursions we took. We get off the cruise ship in this particular case in Vancouver in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and the lady sitting next to me on the bus is coughing and she's not even covering her mouth. And I said to Elisa, I could feel her breath spraying my face. I said, we have to get off. We have to get off the bus. We got off the next stop. We got right off. It was too late. Not that night, but the night after that, I have felt my throat got sore. My ears started to hurt. This lady made me sick. And everybody on the cruise ship was coughing. Everybody.
Yeah, I do not have this as bad, I think, as you do or my wife. But be that as it may, it hangs around for a long time and it'll really zap your energy. Yeah. I noticed it right away when, I went to go to the gym. It took my normal pre-workout stuff. Didn't feel a thing.
Yeah, you don't feel nothing.
Nothing. That's kind of when, you know, or at least when I do.
And I had the good sense not to try to train. And I was training every day on the ship. I was really proud of myself. I used the equipment. I used the free weights. I used the sauna.
What was the gym like?
Oh, it was nice. I mean, this is a luxury cruise. I mean, the gym was at the front of the boat. It was huge.
Yeah, my wife said the same thing. Yeah. She said it was amazing.
I mean, they had every kind of machine I needed. I had great workouts. I actually trained every body part every day. I felt great. But then once I got sick, I was like, I can't train. I'm not going to try it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's almost as bad as being in an airplane. The germs don't have anywhere to go.
And the worst part was then when we were coming home, so we went, we got off the ship in New York, in Manhattan. We stayed overnight in Manhattan. which was nice, really fun. We stayed in Midtown Manhattan at the Hilton. We saw my daughter Taylor, went up to the place that she worked, the Diamond Exchange place she works. And the next day we flew home from Saturday morning. We flew home from Manhattan. And, you know, when your ears hurt and they're a little plugged up, when you start to land, the pressurization changes. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Holy crap. My ears hurt so bad. I told Elisa, I said, I just want to get off this plane. I just want to. My ears were killing me because the pressure changes and my ears were already inflamed from whatever this is that I had in my throat. I slept 11 hours last night. And I slept 11 hours the night before. And I slept. Wasn't like I just couldn't get out of bed. I mean, this thing really knocked me out.
And I bet you're tired today on top after 11 hours of sleep. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. But hey, you know, we do everything we can. I'm using copious amounts of vitamin C, garlic, and some other immune boosters. And knock on wood, I seem to be handling it better than she got it. Although, to be fair, she was on a cruise ship and an airplane, so she had nowhere to go. It was a germ incubation factor.
And that's why Elisa said to me, that's it, last cruise I'm ever taking. I said, I'm with you.
Yeah, you know what? We took a cruise on our honeymoon. I would say if I were to do it again, do not go on a Carnival cruise if you want to sleep. You know, if you want to be with a bunch of drunk idiots running around the cabin. Carnival's for you, but
well, the Queen Mary 2 is exactly the opposite of that. I mean, we had a couple nights where you have a tail wagging I see the dog looking in the mirror. That's so cute,
Molly the Wonder Dog.
we had a couple nights where I had to put on a tuxedo. We had like formal events to go to. It was really nice. It was a class act. Don't get me wrong, but the kind of people that gravitate towards cruises, it's just not me. Just not me at all. So my goal is now to recover this week and get back into the gym and start making progress next week. That's all I can do right now.
Cool.
Mike Anderson says, I have a question about vanadyl sulfate. You know, I haven't thought about vanadyl sulfate in a long time. Never had a chance to use it and was wondering if it did anything. Also, what were some other supplements around that time frame? Did any of them actually work? Vanadyl sulfate did work, didn't it?
It did apparently have an effect in those that had some sort of blood sugar disorder.
Right.
So let's get into it here. This is kind of going back in the time machine, but way back when, this was the mid-1990s, there were really three vanadyl products. One was made by a company, Sport Pharma. I don't think they're around anymore. It was straight vanadyl sulfate, and then they came out with vanadyl pH. That was kind of their little angle on it. Small 7.5 milligram tabs, used a lot of it. Ultimate Nutrition, a company right here in Connecticut that just went out of business, and they've been in the business decades. They had a 10 milligram product, and I used even more than that. And then Bill Phillips came out with something called V2G. Which was vanadium and a couple of other trace minerals, I think it was. You know, looking back, that was a lot of money to spend on something that if I sat down and thought about it, I didn't even really need. So picture this. I'm 25 years old. Dan Duchesne's writing about it, right, in his columns in his Muscle Mag. He certainly included it in Body Opus, I think his last book that he wrote. So if he's writing about it and those people are talking about it, I'm using it. I did not stop to think what this product does and whether I need it or
not. Right, you just took it, right.
Exactly. And so, long story short, it was a glucose disposal agent or
– Well, it was – so first they thought it was an insulin – sensitizer
mimetic.
Or insulin mimetic or insulin sensitizer, but then they found out it worked through a completely different pathway because they actually did a couple really good human studies with it where they showed that it stimulated glucose uptake through a different mechanism than the insulin receptor. And I want to say it was like GLUT3 or GLUT2 or GLUT1 or GLUT4 or something like that. They also discovered that once you took it long enough, you didn't have to keep taking it because your body stored it like other metals.
I was going to say there was some risk of toxicity.
Yeah.
With extreme use, which I probably qualified for.
Right.
Personally, I was waiting to see people turn blue after I read that.
Because it was that nice blue color, wasn't it? You're right.
Yeah, it was like a sparkling blue.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And in fact, I remember a friend of mine calling me up and asking me, is everyone in your gym using those little blue tablets? And so, we finally deduced he was talking about vanadyl sulfate,
right?
And not the other little blue tab. But look, for that time period, vanadyl debuted with a lot of other products like Ultimate Orange and glutamine and creatine. And so clearly, at least a couple of these things worked. You know, ephedra worked, which was in Ultimate Orange. Creatine, of course, worked. But then, weaved in are these kind of other supplements that turned out to be not so great, like glutamine and vanadyl sulfate. But again, put yourself in my position. You're 25 years old. Do you really want to miss out on any of this
stuff?
Yeah,
right. That micron of muscle that you wouldn't get if you didn't take
right.
it.
Right, man. I mean, I got in the tail end of the years where there was nothing. I mean, nothing that worked. And all of a sudden, like a half a dozen things did. And this was kind of in that mix. So, that's why I took it. If I was a little more analytical in my thinking and reasoning, at the very least, I would have gotten blood work done showing my fasting blood sugars to see if there was any effect on them. The fact of the matter is I didn't, like a lot of kids, I suspect at that time, I was just shotgunning whatever I could get my hands on, legally anyway, and using it. So that's the story on vanadyl. Did it work? Yeah, there was some research saying it did. Personally, I don't think, like any other glucose disposal agent, if you don't have a problem disposing of glucose, they're not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
But there are certainly berberine now, the R isomer of lipoic acid. Those things, if you've got blood sugar disorders, they're worth looking into.
By the way, I want to just mention, we don't know what happened yet, but Flex Wheeler had emergency surgery to remove the bottom portion of his right leg yesterday.
Oh, no.
And the story is, and I just want to acknowledge that. By the way, I forgot to mention, today is October 22nd, 2019, for those of you listening to the show 100 years from now. My producer, Sean Canernshield, will get mad at me if I don't say that. But Flex Wheeler had emergency surgery yesterday to have the lower portion of his right leg amputated due to complications. He went for something else, and there was complications. They were like, they had to take the leg off. So we don't know any more than that, and we're wishing him a speedy recovery.
I certainly hope it's not malpractice, but you got to believe, it's a possibility.
Yeah. Todd Goddick says, you mentioned craze a few weeks back and that it felt healthier than some of the dirty stims now on the market. What did you mean by that? I thought it was spiked with amphetamine.
Yeah. Okay. So what follows is my opinion, and my opinion only, of craze versus, let's say, stimulants today. So way back when craze debuts into the pre-workout category, which was starting to get very crowded, and it is a runaway bestseller, I decide to find out why. So I ordered two tubs, and I took it, and I remember out of the gate thinking, that was different. It didn't. I didn't get a big, hit you over the head, central nervous system stimulating effect, which is what I was looking for out of those products at that time. It was only later that I kind of refined its use that I was able to ascertain, this is really good stuff. And if it wasn't, nobody would be buying it and repeat buying it and stocking up on it.
And nobody would have went after them. If it didn't work the way it worked, nobody would have ever decided, what the hell's in that stuff? We got to find out.
Yeah.
It wasn't an amphetamine. It was a precursor to a precursor of what could become an amphetamine in your body. But whether or not it converted to that was a different story. But think about that. If it wasn't as good as it was, nobody would have cared.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is competitors did care.
Right.
Because they suspected there was a little something extra in it. And it's my opinion based on lab tests that I've seen that there was. But the real issue is this. It wasn't disclosed on the label. I mean, there were many different PEA analogs that they put on there, and you could spend months and years tracking that down. But we get to the practical effect of the product. When you took craze, you didn't get all crazy, you know, and jittery and that sort of thing. You did become extremely focused, and it wasn't out of control focus. It was a very much in control focus. It put you perfectly in the zone. Okay. So just picture ultimate tunnel vision without the jitters. For many, I suspect it was the perfect stimulant. I rather doubt it will be making a comeback anytime soon, because I do not believe it was naturally occurring. If it was, and they've got the science to do it, then do it again. But the fact of the matter is, it didn't feel natural. Let me put it that way. So, having said that, we will all have to await the next arrival of a natural compound or another dodgy stimulant. I will say this. If you like driven sports products, and a lot of people do, then their latest releases, particularly in the stimulant category, can be found over at predatornutrition.com. They're out of the UK, but I think you'll find if you go to Driven Sports page, you're going to see all sorts of things released since Craze. There was Frenzy. There was Craze 2. There's something called Rise now. You know, clearly, if you're a pre-workout junkie, that's probably the place that you want to be. I have no idea what's in those products. I have no idea. I haven't even really kept up with the feedback. A little bit here and there. It seems to be hit or miss.
I was under the impression that Craze in its original form was still available in the UK because it wasn't illegal there. But I guess I'm wrong about that.
No, I know enough about the folks over there who have been asking for just that. Hey, you know, this new stuff is pretty good, but could you bring back the original Craze? Could you bring it back, please? Now, I don't know. Maybe some people might be selling it behind the counter or something, but there's certainly no OTC market for original Craze. So look, here's the bottom line. Craze was a huge hit, and it's easy to see why. I only wish that mystery ingredient was naturally occurring. But it is what it is. For now, we will have to wait and see what the next big thing is. Personally, I think history is going to repeat itself. I don't know what company's going to do this, but personally, I think a young upstart new company is going to introduce something with another designer stimulant. May not be in the second or third batches, but it will happen again. It's a very common occurrence in this market. That's just how it is.
A lot of companies knowingly introduce questionable ingredients and make millions of dollars waiting for the FDA to send them a cease and desist letter. And then they stop, but they've already made the money. This is a common tactic in the supplement industry. It's been going on for decades. There are bar manufacturers that put a lot more sugar and a lot less protein in their bars. The bars sell out. People love them. And then someone catches them, calls them on the carpet, but they've already made millions of dollars, so they're happy. So it's really sad that goes on.
Yeah. And I've seen another company, but I won't mention their name. They came out with a fantastic pre-workout to the hardcore market. Hardcore market loved it. The name is out there. It's established. The next thing you see, it shows up in Vitamin World and GNC. Completely different watered-down ingredients for the mass market. Right. So, you know, personally, I hate that because I'm part of the hardcore crowd. And don't use us, you know, to get your product's name out there and then kill it by watering it down.
Next question comes from Wes Jeston. He says, I know you're a big proponent of body weight exercises and doing increased amounts of it as you age. Can you give me an idea of what you're doing right now. I'm around the same age as you and just want to make sure I'm doing this right.
Yeah. So to refresh, my guidelines on body weight exercise are this. You simply take your age, and body weight exercises should take up a percentage equal to your age. So here I am a couple months shy of 50 years old, and I can tell you that instead of, for example, standing barbell presses, which I can no longer do, even if I wanted to with this right elbow, instead of that, I'm doing weighted handstand shoulder presses. And for whatever reason, probably because my elbows and arms are in the anatomically correct position, I can do those without any pain at all. And that's bone on bone in the elbow.
That's amazing.
No cartilage whatsoever. Instead of bench presses, I'm doing push-ups with my feet elevated or one-arm push-ups. Certainly chin-ups, heavy-weighted chin-ups, uneven chin-ups, you know, with each arm. And as I continue to lose weight, because I'm dieting to get my waist down, those exercises only become that much easier, right? I mean, it's a great trade-off. You know, you might be dropping weight, you might be seeing the numbers go down, but your strength is actually going up on chin-ups, on dips, on push-ups, on handstand push-ups, you know, squatting movements of various degrees. The point is, it's going to treat you well. Now, does that mean there's not a place for weighted movements? Absolutely not. You know, I will concede that pistols, one-legged squats with body weight only, are not going to hypertrophy your legs to the same degree that weights will. Likewise, you know, things like traps and upper back, trap bar deadlifts are a core component of my lower body day, right? So those are worked into the mix. The four-way neck machine, that's weights. We're getting a reverse hyperextension in my gym soon. That is another weighted movement that simply can't be really duplicated by body weight stuff. So that's how I do it. I found the movements that work for me. They are incredibly challenging, and they're a lot more gratifying. I mean, you know, being able to kick up into a handstand and do a full handstand push-up, you know, with additional weight, a 25-pound weight vest, that is, to me, it's a lot more gratifying than grabbing a barbell and just pushing it over my head, because you have to have balance. You have to have a lot more balance. You have to have a lot more coordination. And it's a much better movement for building muscle. Why? Because the body and weight are moving through space simultaneously, which can be said about virtually every body weight movement, mm-hmm. as opposed to a lot of weighted movements where only the limbs and the weight are moving through space. You know, not saying those don't work. I am saying it's much better to have the body and the weight move through space simultaneously. The last benefit that I'll give you, it naturally regulates your appetite. You're not going to be as hungry, right, as if you're overloading your body with hundreds and hundreds of extra pounds every workout with free weights, and that helps with dieting.
So you feel like 50% of your training should be body weight because you're 50 now, and if I'm 61, 61% of my training should be body weight.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else. It served me so well, I'm thinking of bumping it up to like 60%. I mean, to be totally honest, you could do a set of trap bar deadlifts as the only weighted component of your extra and do the rest body weight stuff. You'd be an absolute beast. Right. Beast, yeah. You know? Think about it. You add 10 pounds. If you add 10 pounds a week to your trap bar deadlifts, reps of, let's say, 10 reps, you know, in 5 weeks, where are you going to be? 50 pounds. Let's say you start at 300. In 10 weeks, you're going to be at 400 for 10. You think you're going to put on more muscle, you know, going from 300 to 10 for 400? Absolutely. And even if it takes you 20 weeks, who cares? That's still not half a year.
Right.
So something to consider.
Ricky Sheehan says, so I was looking again at ecdysterone studies and a few others that have done it, done on it. Most of these studies would never hold up in Western medical journals. How can you possibly advocate for a compound in light of all of this?
I can advocate for it because I have successfully used it in one form or another for the past 25 years and know lots
of people. But what studies is he talking about? The ones done in Russia?
I don't know. It's tough to say because so many studies have been done, right? In Russia, in Japan, in Brazil, in Germany, in Hungary, in the United States. You know, they've been done literally all over the globe. So, you know, you need to tell me which ones you don't agree with. First of all, though, I want you to understand this. This really shows a lot of arrogance. Many American researchers will look at any foreign journal and turn their nose up to it, you know, because it has what I call not invented here syndrome. They simply think that because it wasn't done in the United States, they're not going to be able to do the study correctly. And I find that incredibly arrogant. You know, think about it. If you're discounting both the abilities and the ethics of the rest of the world, and you're conducting a study showing HMB puts on more muscle than steroids.
And it doesn't.
What does that say about you?
Right.
I mean
there's plenty of shoddy science right here in the United States.
I just reviewed another one this morning. And what it claimed was, if you took 12 milligrams of astaxanthin a day, that walking on the treadmill would have the same effect as a weight-bearing workout building muscles. Now, wonder of wonders, guess who it was funded by?
An astaxanthin company.
The astaxanthin company. So, to your point, there's a lot of bad science, okay? And it's not just overseas, it's here too. But my point earlier about the Russian findings and these other countries have been done in the test tube, in furry little critters like mice, and increasingly now in human beings. They have all, in one form or another, shown positive findings, okay? Every single one, or not, to various degrees, but in different countries. So I want you to think about that.
Yeah, it would have to be a conspiracy. Like all these countries got together one day and they said, hey, we're going to start publishing studies on ecdysterone, and we're going to say good things about it. Would you please do the same thing? And yeah, we'll all conspire. We'll all get together. We'll all lie about this one thing.
Yeah, that's literally what would have had to happen. And so, look, what are the odds of that? Obviously, you know, the answer is clear. I do want to comment briefly on the latest study done in Germany. And it's true, some elements of that study could have been improved upon, right? I don't think they used DEXA for body mass index. It sounds like they did, I don't know if it was old-fashioned calipers or what have you. And the ECDY product itself had 100 milligrams of leucine in it. So, you know,
Why did they even do that? Like, what was the purpose of that?
Right. And I think everybody knows and understands 100 milligrams of leucine
is nothing.
Isn't going to do jack, okay?
But why put it in there anyway? Just to, like, have someone point at it. Like, well, why did you do that, you know?
Right, exactly. So my point is this. You can look at any study and nitpick, this could have been done better, that could have been done better. I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. Listen, you can spend from today until the end of time debating people about whether this study was good, whether this study was bad, whether this needed to be done or that needed to be done. You need to ask yourself the question, are they all conspiring to sell ecdysterone? And the answer is no. The answer is no. And I think you will find additional human studies continue to prove my point. I used to get all the flack in the world. And you know what they love to throw in my face? Show me the human studies. I don't care about studies on rats. I don't care about what the test tubes say. Show me it done in humans. And when they finally did, guess what at least one person said? That's junk. It's no good. That study doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So those people are never going to be happy, you know.
And I heard WADA's official position, correct me, is they haven't banned it yet, but they're watching it. Have you seen that?
Yes, the researchers on that particular human study in Germany concluded by recommending that WADA include equisterone as a banned substance under whatever chapter and verse of the banned list under other anabolic substances.
Right.
I think it is probably prudent for WADA to still take a wait-and-see approach, because I don't think it conveys the advantage, obviously, that steroids do. But it's interesting, because WADA just wants to know the truth, man. WADA's not interested in wasting its money or having to test for things, run very expensive lab tests for things that don't really work.
That don't do anything, right?
Right, think about that. It's just stupid. So we'll have to wait and see. Until then, I'm going to continue doing what I've been doing for 25 years. I use it almost every day now, and I love it.
We have a question when we come back from Matt Bozak. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of the Blueprint Power Hour here at Superhuman Radio. It feels good to be back in the studio. Sit tight.
Yeah.
Do you use protein powder? Then you'll want to hear this. Thrive Protein is the single best protein blend in the world, built around what Mother Nature put into mother's milk. Thrive Protein is the first human-appropriate protein blend. There's just too much in Thrive to list in this commercial. That's why I'm challenging you to compare your current protein to Thrive. Get your current protein and go to thriveprotein.com and see how your protein's label stacks up to Thrive. For a limited time, get 3 pounds of Thrive for $59.95, including shipping inside the USA. That's thriveprotein.com and code COMPARE. Get ready to experience protein envy.
Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about Can-See eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using Can-See and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who, because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. Can-See eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using Can-See eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision.
You already know the benefits of red light therapy. Now you have to find the strongest, best one out there at the best price, right? That's where Scott Chevrolet found himself. He had to create Mito Red Light so you can get the strongest, best red light therapy unit in the world at the absolute best price.
price. And the Superhuman Nation gets an additional discount. Go to MitalRedLight.com and use code SHR to get the lowest price anywhere, plus free shipping inside the USA and deeply discounted shipping worldwide. Go to MitalRedLight.com and use code SHR today. That's MitalRedLight.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
So apparently I don't have the right questions in front of me. How can
I just that you have the version where I didn't include the question that was sent to on air today. So just add that.
Oh, I have to find it then. I'll find it in a second. Okay.
I've got it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good. All right. So the next question comes from Matt Bozak. He says, I'm on HRT, 200 milligrams a week of testosterone. It's definitely improved my mood, energy levels, and sex drive. But I was wondering what else I could take with it to increase muscle building power. How about up your protein intake by 100 grams a day?
There you go. You know, it's amazing. We finally get on a compound that works, right? The mother of all.
Hey, let me. This is a good chance to plug something, right? This is not, okay. not a sponsor of mine. This is Kroger's Break Free. It's $4.47 a quart. It's liquid, pasteurized liquid egg whites. Tastes like water. Delicious. Doesn't feel like snot. It's ultra purified. Ultra-filtered, literally tastes like water, 100 grams of egg white protein in that container right there. So get two of these a day and drink them around your normal meals. That's 200 grams of protein a day. That'll put on muscle. There you go.
Yeah. Is this a new product? I've never heard of
it. No. Kroger's has had this stuff forever. Lisa and I have been using it in the morning. I'll take two whole eggs and then a cup of these. A cup of these is 25 grams of egg white protein. And I'll make my eggs with it so that I don't have all the extra fat. But I get two good, nice, beautiful yolks. But I didn't feel like cooking. I don't feel good. I feel like, really, I feel terrible. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to bring it with me. And I've been drinking it. I drink two of them a day right now. It's 200 grams of protein. You want 300 grams of protein a day? Drink three. This is the cheapest protein in the world. $4.47 for 100 grams of protein. $4.47. Wow. Think about that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'll have to look for that. okay, so but the point remains, right? We get on the mother of all steroids here, testosterone, and almost immediately we want to stack it.
What can I take with it? Yeah.
Right. So this is, you know, you hit the nail on the head. The compound that will increase your results the most is food. It's very quite simply food. I talk about why I developed Progenitrex to amplify food. The more food you eat,
the good food you get.
Right, the better results you're going to get from virtually any bodybuilding drug.
In fact, I did a show right before my vacation with Ronnie Milo, where we examine the study that shows that it's not your training, but your lack of eating that causes overtraining. Now, think about that.
Yeah. It's unfortunately, the knee-jerk reaction by most people is just to take more of what they're currently
eating. If you added DECA and Trend to this mix, you'd feel it, but you wouldn't gain any more muscle unless you packed on the calories.
Yeah, and in that respect, it kind of depends, right? If you're eating to gain muscle, I think we can all agree that extra protein, creatine, maybe beta-alanine, they're research-proven, and they're good ideas, okay? The real question is, where do you go from there? If your HRT doc is on the progressive side, you should know that there are two other FDA-approved steroids that they can still prescribe to you if you have an injury. Those two being DECA and Anavar. We're going to go over each and the pluses and the minuses, and you should certainly know about those. DECA is certainly the more reasonably priced of the two. Anavar is prohibitively expensive. especially going through a doctor where insurance doesn't cover it. I don't know. If you've got insurance that covers it, contact me. I want your insurance. DECA, of course, much cheaper. DECA is usually prescribed for injuries in the amount of 100 milligrams a week. Okay, and what I hear from athletes, is that they will, of course, they'll save it up, right, and run anywhere from 200 to 600 milligrams a week,
right,
along with their tests. Now, I would be remiss not to mention one of DECA's side effects, a very important side effect, that being erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
Some people can get around that with higher dose tests. Okay?
But that doesn't, you gotta, if you start using DECA, you gotta go slowly with it. You really do. I would add in 50 milligrams a week to your current testosterone, and I would do that for a couple weeks to a month before you go up to 100 milligrams a week, because I was taking 2 grams of testosterone and a gram of DECA a week, and it gave me erectile problems, even though I was taking twice as much testosterone as I was DECA.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if it was me and I was on it, I'd also have Viagra on hand just in case. Yeah. Because I've heard from some guys some really scary stories. I don't know how much of it is physiological. I don't know how much of it is in their head. But I've heard from people where, you know, they have erectile dysfunction a year later after coming off the stuff. And if you think about it,
well, that's because of anxiety. Once you get DECA D word,
yeah,
then you always think you're going to get it. Like you don't realize it's the DECA, and that's anxiety driven. So you have to do something about that. That's a different story entirely. I had this conversation with Dave Palumbo because I waited like a month. I had no injections. I said, how long do you think it takes for this DECA to get out of my system? He said, probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks tops. And I waited 6 to 8 weeks. I was nervous, and that was actually giving me issues.
Yeah, so much of it's in your head, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just you start shooting large amounts of hormones and you get erections. No, I mean, even with Viagra, right, you need some sort of stimulation for it to work. So that is a obviously huge consideration before you go down the DECA road. ED is no laughing matter. You know, it's one thing if it just affects you. The fact of the matter is it's going to affect your significant other.
Well, right? if it's ED from anxiety, it's not as worrisome to me as if it's ED from vascular issues, because the reason guys get ED most of the time in today's environment is because they develop plaque inside the spongy portion of the penis that is supposed to fill up with blood.
Oh,
well, if you're getting plaque in there where blood can't get in anymore, you've got plaque other places that are more worrisome than your penis, like in your arteries. And that's why they say, whenever you hear people say ED sometimes is the earliest warning sign of cardiovascular disease, this is what they're talking about. Because if you're getting plaque in your penis, then you've got plaque probably in some of the major arteries in your heart too. And so that kind of ED is worrisome. But the ED from a failed attempt, because you're getting older, you tend to be anxiety-ridden. There's a lot of things you can do for that. Number one, cardio. I'm telling you, cardio. Cardio, cardio, cardio. 45 minutes on the treadmill, walking at a nice leisurely pace. This lowers anxiety levels. This improves performance of all type, number one. Number two, meditation. Number three, make sure you're sleeping right, because cortisol levels go through the roof, and Mr. Winky doesn't want to work because he's nervous all the time.
Yeah.
So those kind of ED problems, they're fixable, and they're not like, oh, man, you're going to die here. But the other ones where it's vascular, you can end up with a stroke. You can have plaque building up in your brain.
Yep. Excellent point. I noticed the same thing with trib, or at least related, but that's another story for another day. So that's DECA. Anavar, on the other hand, it's usually prescribed in the amount of 25 milligrams a day for up to 90 days. You know, the problem is the going price, at least from what I've been able to ascertain, for that cycle is in the neighborhood of $1,000.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
You know, and it's doubtful insurance is going to cover.
You know who's using Anavar? Female movie stars that are getting ready for action movies.
Right.
Scarlett Johansson type. I'm not saying her, but those types where they're getting ripped and they're getting muscular for a show, but they don't want to end up with an enlarged clitoris and hair growing on their face. They're using Anavar.
Right. So it's very popular with women. Always has been.
Yeah. Very, 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 very low androgenicity. Very, very low. But very, very high anabolic to androgenicity ratio.
Right. And then finally, we'll turn our attention to one other thing that's can legally be prescribed, and that's growth hormone. Given what we're seeing, though, from research peptides or ability to boost GH, I would take a good hard look at CJC-1295, right, without DAC, stacked with a good growth hormone-releasing peptide like Ipamorelin.
GHRP6, right.
GHRP6, right. Yeah. Which will further increase your appetite. You know, now we're back to food.
Just take it 3 or 4 times a day. That's where people miss out. They take it in the morning and they think they're done. No, you got to – men pulse growth hormone every 3 hours, women every hour and a half. So after that first shot in the morning, if you're a guy, count 3 hours before you eat, at least an hour after you've already eaten – and at least a half hour before you're going to eat, you take another shot. And then you eat a half hour later.
Right. And I've used those, and I can certainly say that they're effective. I've never used straight growth hormone, so I can't really speak to how great it is at building muscle and losing fat. I suspect it's a lot better at helping injuries. But here's the bottom line. The best stack with testosterone for the steroid, other than more food, right, and that's a big one, more food is the big one. For most guys, it's usually just more and or different steroids. Lacking that, boosting growth hormone, either through peptides or the real deal, I would look there next. It's largely lip service, though, because most athletes will simply use more powerful drugs, like D-ball or Anadrol, right, or Tren, from underground labs. I pass no judgment on that, but, you know, I really don't think most athletes that want to add a lot more muscle are going to select Anavar in place of D-ball. So, and there's only one place they're getting that, and that's usually the black market. So more food, though, is the real answer. It really is.
It's magic. It's magic, and people just don't get that. They just don't get it. You get a container of Break Free from Kroger's. That's 100 grams of protein. Drink one of these a day in addition to whatever you're doing right now. Don't change what you're doing right now. Just drink one of these a day. Do that for a month. Watch what happens. Be consistent for a month.
In fact, I'll have to get these for next week. I know there are studies showing that overfeeding alone, in the absence of training.
Of course.
Added lean body mass.
Of course. Your body isn't going to only build fat. It's going to build muscle and bone and everything else, of course.
Right, yeah.
Anabolism isn't discriminatory. It's not like, oh, anabolic, we're only going to pay attention to muscle. No, fat, muscle, soft tissue, right. Everything.
Look at obese people that are 350 pounds, never work out.
And look at their calves. Look at their calves. And that's because of two things. The stimulation of carrying that weight and the anabolic effects of their diet.
Right.
Let's just throw this up there real quick for Robert David. He's going to come back and listen later. He says, I've always enjoyed when you both talk about the old supplements. I love reminiscing. How about your experience with old courses? I know the Weider workouts were very basic, but that's what I started with, and I still add it to my yearly routines. I also remember using my allowance as a kid to buy the universal bodybuilding courses. Can you go back to some of the old routines that you remember? Love your show. Love listening to you. I'll listen after work.
Yeah, you know what? He brings up a great topic here, because although they were certainly not as popular as the supplements, the courses, the information gave me better gains than all the supplements combined. And I'm talking about super squats, right? I'd had 30 pounds of muscle in 6 weeks. Provocative title. But I'm telling you now, if you put the work in, you can do some amazing things. Leo Costa's, right, Big Beyond Belief, or Bulgarian Burst Training. I remember devouring those manuals and doing that. Vince Gironda, A Muscle Has Six Sides. And then I started, of course, to get into Dr. Squat Fred Hatfield stuff, which led me into loading patterns. And I found them from Germany and, right, all these other places. There was also, I can't believe I found this on YouTube. Someone took the Cybergenics total bodybuilding system, okay, from back in the day, and he documented his progress, you know, throughout, and he went through what was in the supplements, and but most importantly, what the training and the diet was like. And we all laugh about Cybergenics, but you know what? The fact of the matter is, he was the first that I read about anyway that talked about training fasted, about cycling calories and carbohydrates in relation to your exercise. He didn't come out and say it, but specific amino acids taken before and during the workout, some of which were nitric oxide enhancers, stretching a muscle after it's been right taxed maximally. And I can tell you, and this is a huge statement, the Cybergenics leg workout was the most difficult workout that I've ever done. And if you Google this, you'll see it. But just to give you an appetizer, 80% of your one rep max on squats, you do it till you can't do it anymore. You strip off half the weight. You do it till you do it, can't do it anymore. Then you back away from the bar and you do plyometric jumps. You jump up into the air until your legs give out. Then, it's still not over, then you do body weight squats until you can no longer do them, and then you do extreme stretching before returning. Okay, that was round one. He wanted you to do it four times, and that was just the start of the workout.
Isn't that the one that Casey Viator did back in the day when he was training with Arthur Jones, and he literally, like, he trained and he couldn't get up off the floor. He passed out and he couldn't get up off the floor.
The one supposedly where Jones put a gun to his head?
Yeah.
It was a version of that. But if anybody's listening and you have those Cybergenics manuals, I'm certainly willing to trade or pay you for them, because there was value in it. If you and I did, if you followed the workout and the training to a T for 60 days, you better believe you got results. You know, you got great results. It put me in the hospital today, that type of training. But there's merit to it, and you should seek it out and use it. I dare say use it, perhaps modify it a little bit to cut down the volume, because there's value there.
Aiden Ray has a good question, and I have a good answer for him. He says, do you forsake abs while you're overfeeding?
Forsake
them. In other words, don't worry about your abs. They'll come back later.
Oh.
And he says this because he and I belong to the same club. We are card-carrying fat people, once fat people. Okay, so here's the easy answer. If you increase the protein, if you look at all of Dr. Jose Antonio's work on overfeeding protein, these guys got leaner while they built muscle. So up your protein to 2.5-3 grams per pound of body weight. Cut back on your fats and your carbs. Make the protein the overfeeding part, and you won't gain any fat. You'll still have abs. Right. You'll get more muscular, but you won't get fatter. Once again, drink a couple of these a day. Here's 200 grams of protein. Boom, gone. There you go.
People forget the body burns up 1 1/3 its weight in whatever amount of protein that you take. 1 1/3. Okay, that's why people on high protein diets, despite the fact they can be high calorie, lose weight. Food for thought.
Yeah. I mean, look at any of Jose Antonio's work on overfeeding protein.
Yeah.
The guys that ate the most protein gained the most muscle and also lost the most fat at the same time. It's magic.
I would answer his question briefly just by saying you should certainly still train them to be strong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But hey, listen, if they disappear, I promise you, they're still there. They'll come back when you die.
But again, if you just increase your protein and not your carbs, you won't put on any extra body fat. Your abs won't disappear. Brian Adia says, hold on, I got to clear my throat. I had to take myself off camera for a second there. I was hacking. He says, I know you recommend essential amino acids and use them in Synthogen, but Pepto-Pro has more science behind it. In fact, there's a study that says that di- and tripeptides in Pepto-Pro are superior to both intact proteins and isolated amino acids. Knowing that, how can you recommend EAAs instead?
Yes. Brian?
Sounds like I tell you one thing I got to tell you. Whoever this Pepto-Pro company is, they have good marketing because they brainwashed him.
Yeah. The fact is this. Brian, in one respect anyway, he's absolutely right because there is a study showing that di- and tripeptides are faster absorbed than free-form amino acids and basically anything else. The problem,
but how can that be? I challenge that, and I'll tell you why. Because a dipeptide is two amino acids bonded together. A tripeptide is three amino acids bonded together with electrical bonds in between them, holding them together like a choo-choo train. A free-form amino acid is one amino acid, no bond. I challenge that research. I would challenge that research all day long because it doesn't make sense when you look at it from a critical thinking standpoint. There's no bonds to break. That's why a free-form amino acid goes right through the lining of the stomach into the bloodstream. This is documented in science.
Yeah,
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I'm sorry.
I know what their answer to that contention will be, but again, we go back and forth all day long. The fact of the matter is this, and the problem for the Pepto-Pro people is this. It doesn't seem to outperform certain combinations of essential amino acids in the real world. Now, I don't want you to take my word for this. I want you to go ahead, and I want you to take, if you can stomach it, as much Pepto-Pro as you'd like. And then I want you to repeat that same process with 10 grams of essential amino acids. Not nearly the amount of Pepto-Pro that you could swallow. Given the same timing, right, before, during, and after have all been looked at, essential amino acids recover you faster and increase protein synthesis more, provided, right, they're taken pre-workout, and I suspect also sipped intra-workout between sets, although they haven't specifically looked at intra. They have looked at pre. More importantly, if you think about it, you can manipulate the ratios of these essential amino acids rather easily. With Pepto-Pro or any hydrolyzed protein, the di- and tripeptides, they've already been cleaved, right? And they can't really be altered. By the time you get it home, there's no way you're cleaving different amino acid sequences, right? Neither one of them, to be fair, tastes that great. But Pepto-Pro is significantly more bitter because casein, from which Pepto-Pro is derived, contains very high levels of proline, the amino acid proline. And the bitterness, right, of those proline-rich peptides is due to the nature of the protein where proline is located, basically, in the middle of this peptide chain. The current product, current Pepto-Pro product, will tell you it's been debitterized. Now, taste doesn't matter to some people. I'm one of them. But don't be fooled. This stuff is still bitter as hell. It's awful. Which would be fine, right, if it worked better than essential amino acids. The problem is it doesn't. And it's an expensive, right, experiment. Look.
I have something to contribute to this.
Okay. So go ahead. Go ahead.
So Epitalon. We all know what Epitalon is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Epitalon is a tripeptide. Epitalon must be injected. Why?
because the gut treats it like any other protein. If you took Epitalon and didn't inject it but squirted it down your throat, the digestive acids would break it apart into their individual amino acids, like it does with every protein that you digest. So this idea that you're putting dye and tripeptides in your stomach and somehow they're bypassing the normal digestive process and entering the lining of the stomach is a lie. And if it wasn't a lie, then no one would shoot Penalon, Epitalon, or any of these other dye and tripeptide peptide injectables. They would just take them and put them in their mouth. I mean, now, when we talk about absorption in the stomach, nothing goes from the inside the gut to inside the bloodstream faster than a free-form amino acid. I don't care if it's glutamine, arginine. I don't care what it is. If it's a free-form amino acid, it means it's a single amino acid, like a little capsule. Nothing attached to it, and it's attached to nothing. Nothing goes from inside the stomach to inside the bloodstream faster than that. So this idea that dye and tripeptides have some sort of magic is nonsense. And if it was true, then modern medicine would have harnessed that. We wouldn't be injecting dye and tripeptides. We would just be eating them and go, oh, man, we could just eat more of this stuff. This is great.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to use critical thinking here. You can't fall prey to slick marketing. You just can't.
Yeah, and like I said, you can prove it to yourself, too, if you want to, but, you know, that's literally how it works. The final argument that they're going to give you is essential amino acids. Look, if you're eating enough protein, you're getting that in your diet. You know, whey protein's chock full of essential amino acids. Well, you know, again, don't take my word for it. I want you to eat however much you normally eat of protein a day, 300 grams. Get it from whey, get it from steak, get it from chicken, get it from wherever. And then I want you to do the same thing, but take 10 grams of essential amino acids before or during your workout. You tell me which one you recover better from. I already know the answer. There's merit in standalone essential aminos timed with exercise, and it's a lot more merit than getting them in an intact protein string from whey or beef or chicken or fish or whatever.
We have a question that someone sent in. Do you have it there? Let me see if I forwarded it to you. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I know I forwarded it to you, but I just don't know if I have it on my phone now.
I think I do. It's
sent to Coach Rob. Yeah, I think I have it. Okay. Regarding, this comes from Gabrielle. Regarding strong range rack pulls, top range, obviously, I'm curious, especially given your knowledge of back issues. Let me turn this sideways. Is there any symptoms that would make you steer someone away from this movement? I have a back issue from time to time, but it does. They don't seem to get aggravated by lifting, but rather by awkward movements. I'm wondering if I had a bulged disc and didn't know it, and heavy rack pulls would be a risk. How would you know they are putting themselves at risk, creating aggravation to the disc itself? Well, the first thing you need to do is have an MRI of the disc.
Yeah, I mean, don't do what I did and guess. It's self-diagnosed.
No, it's not something you can guess.
Right. So, but it's interesting that he asked this because I just did them yesterday. And so we need to speak to the movement and what to do if your back's feeling tender or what have you. I have had issues in the past that it's not as serious as a bulging disc. It was more subluxation of the vertebrae. And so I can feel a little something going on in my lower back. However, to my great surprise, when I did rack pulls, obviously with a lesser amount of weight than usual, but when I did rack pulls, it made my back feel fantastic. I was pain-free. I was dumbfounded. I was walking away from that workout, and I said to myself, how? And then I thought, oh, it's just the endorphins. that must be what it is. And I woke up the next day, no back pain. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know if it was unique to me, but for some reason, performing them actually helped when I had back pain. I will also tell you this, though. The movement itself, the top range rack pull, is extremely safe. Why? Because there's little to no trunk flexion. Think about it. You're simply lifting the barbell off the pins, the top inch of the movement. You are literally standing erect, right? And not flexing, bending at the waist. They are safer than any deadlift, and that goes for trap bar deadlifts, which is really saying something. The amount of overload that you can generate is greater than virtually any other movement. And believe you me, you do these twice a month and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, having said that, if someone thinks they have an issue, I would go really slow. Start with lightweight. You know, make smaller jumps as opposed to larger ones and see how you and feel how you observe, not just that day, but the next day after that. If an issue still presents itself, the question becomes, how do I overload those same muscle groups without stressing the back? And the answer is another what I call super lift. Glute ham bridges, but from the ground. So normally you'll see people performing these, their back will be to the bench or to the wall or what have you. And, of course, that increases the range of motion that the barbell has to travel. However, if you lay flat on the ground and roll the barbell over your groin, bring your heels up as close as you can to your glutes, and thrust that barbell as high as it'll go and hold it there for a minute or two, you're going to find two things. One, you can handle a prodigious amount of weight. In fact, I have found, for whatever reason, that you should be able to handle a similar amount of weight that you do in the top range rack pull. And the other thing that you will notice is that there is no vertical compression of the spine. Zero. It is an extremely safe movement and something that you can work with and increase the weight on while your back heals.
If you have a problem with your back, go get an MRI, first of all. Don't do anything. If you think, I got something going on my back, go get an MRI. Find out if you have a disc that's not right. Find out if you have something else that can be fixed maybe by a chiropractor, number one. If it's lower back, the thing that strengthens the lower back the best is planking. You can either do push-ups more often or you could just do planking more often, but you do those every single day, 4 or 5 times a day, and your lower back pain, if you do have pain or that little wincy thing that you feel, just something doesn't, that'll probably go away. And then obviously you can move into these things slowly, but don't do anything without getting an MRI, because you'll go into the gym and go, okay, I'll start out real light, and you'll do something. You'll be like, oh, my God, I can't move. I have to lay on the floor. Call the ambulance. I can't get home. Yeah. Please, go get an MRI of your lower back and see what you're working with first before you do anything else.
Yeah. That last point that you made about ab work, and in particular, like heavy ab work, a lot of times, I can't count the number of times people have come to me and they said, they feel something in my lower back. I said, go do, standing ab crunches. They come back to me. I can't believe it. I don't have any pain.
Well, and the other thing is get an inversion table. I mean, get an inversion table. One of the most valuable investments you can make if you're somebody who has back problems is an inversion table, and slowly get into a vertical position. You start out with 45 degrees and just keep increasing it week after week a little bit further, and then wiggle your hips a little bit, relax your stomach. Feel your spine literally coming up. You'll hear it pop, 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 pop.
Yep.
And keep doing that. And over the course of 6 or 8 months, get to the point where you can hang completely upside down from your ankles. Nothing will keep your back healthier than doing that. Nothing.
I've got one downstairs, thanks to you. I think the very first show we did, you recommended an inversion table, and I went out and got one.
Me? I haven't been able to invert, because when I had the leg surgery, I had the stupid boot on for 6 months. Twice in the year of 2018.
So I'm just now getting into like just the 45-degree angle. I'm just like slowly. Because one of the things that you have to understand, inversion tables work. That's the good thing. The bad thing is they work. So if you've spent a long time without having those vertebrae separated and they're kind of jammed in together, you go too aggressive too soon and you'll be like, oh my God, I hurt my back. Yeah, you hurt your back. There's no doubt about it. But it's not the kind of hurt that you think it is. It's the spine starting to, it hasn't been used to stretching in a long time. So you got to go slow with an inversion table. And if you work at it, in the course of 8 months, a year, you will be hanging completely upside down. And I use that length of time on purpose. Because even me, I went too fast with the inversion table the other day. I was like, oh, F. I couldn't walk up the stairs to go to bed that night. I was like, okay, Carl, take the advice that you would give somebody else. And I just put it at 45 degrees, and I lay there, and I wiggle, and I milk my hips, I call it. I thrust my hips back and forth and side to side, and I can feel that lumbar spine stretching, and then I'm done, and I go upstairs. And I'll do that for a couple months, and then slowly start to invert more and more. You don't want to go too aggressive with that, but that's gold if you have lower back problems, gold.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to take our last commercial break, and then we have the Blueprint Tip of the Day. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour brought to you by CoachRobRegish.com. Check out the website. Sign up for something. Read something. Be stronger tomorrow. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl-L-carnitine, and alpha-lipoic acid to where they need to be, your cells. Visit try.livonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.livonlabs.com/Carl.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full bull out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DRSEEDS.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So we got to put this up. David Florida, avid listener
after the show. Says he's 18 days out from an arthroscopy surgery on his right shoulder, an AC joint. He's using daily Thrive fish oil, curcumin, gamma GH, and hoarded bottles of Synthogen X2. Have almost no pain, like after a good workout, and range of motion is coming back fast. Yeah, so this is an example of a guy who made a plan, a sensible plan, and it's going to pay off because his surgery is going to heal faster, heal better, and he's probably not going to lose anything. You know, a lot of people have surgeries like this. Look, almost forgot. Dr. Seed's BPC, it works. The oral work. That's the only peptide that survives the gut. That's it. And that's because it's made in the gut. People go, oh, well, you could take BPC 157 orally. That's because BPC is made in our gut. That's why it knows what to do when it's in our gut. But here's a guy with a plan. He's working his plan. Just make sure you increase your collagen protein. The best is Great Lakes. They have a collagen hydrolysate. Take 2 tablespoons twice a day. That will also improve soft tissue healing and give the GH stuff and all that other good stuff something to build, building blocks. But he's got a plan. He's going to come back 100%. Watch.
Yeah. I mean, I've often thought, other than workouts, for Synthogen, recovery from surgery, everyone knows how well it works. After a workout, I can just imagine how it would benefit those patients.
When I had my first and second foot surgery, the only reason why my foot is functional, because I was told, 2 surgeries, chances are your foot's not going to work. I was told by the last doctor, you'll never run again, and I'm going to run again. I'm actually getting close to it now. I was injecting BPC 157, thymosin, beta 4, growth hormone directly into my foot. I had him leave a little area at the top of the foot with a bandage where I could open it up, and I would stick it right in the instep and inject that, and it hurt. It hurt like a son of a bee. But it was like I needed to give myself every opportunity to come back stronger, not make this be my final, you know, story.
Yeah, and I predict he will amaze his doctors with his recovery.
Oh yeah, look at this. Dave Hartnett says, BPC 157, fixing my torn rotator. After 2 months of suffering, I ordered it from Peptide Sciences. 2 weeks later, I'm 70% better. It's like magic. Look, my son, Chase, is an avid climber. You know, he's like one of these rock climbers, and he goes to Northern California and climbs. And he told me, Dad, I have tendonitis for 2 years. And I sent him a bottle of BPC 157 and a bunch of syringes and some diluent. And literally, in 2 weeks, his tendonitis that he lived with for 2 years was gone. People can't believe it. And when you try to tell somebody, like, I have friends that are like, oh, I got the, you know, BPC one. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. All right. Okay. Go on with it's your bad self. Suffer.
Unfortunately, it'll probably be like CBD is today. The FDA is going after it. They want to control it.
Well, it's by prescription. So, you know, we're all getting it by prescription, Rob.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
There you go. True. So what is the blueprint tip of the day, Rob?
The tip of the day is my thoughts on dogs, death, and training as therapy for a broken heart. So one of my son's dogs died recently, and it absolutely crushed him. I mean, it crushed me. Just imagine what it's like for him. This would be his first experience, really, with loss. He's 13 years old, so he knows what's happening. And so it would be the first time he felt the pain of losing someone or a friend, right, or a pet that he loved. He just completely broke down. He went through all the typical emotions, right? You got denial, anger, grief. I forget what they all are, but then, you know, the question started, you know, why did he have to die? Where is he now? Where's heaven? Am I ever going to see him again? You know, I remember asking those questions when I was little after someone died. I'll never forget this. And it quickly became obvious based on the answers that I was getting that the adults that I asked these questions of and that I looked up to and depended on They didn't have all the answers. They didn't have all this stuff figured out. And believe it or not, that scared me almost as much as death itself. Because it was the first time that I realized, they don't have all the answers. And therefore, can they still help me? Everyone, of course, grieves differently. The way I dealt with it when I was young was not the healthiest. And I'm much better today, but it's still not good. What I did was I beat myself up for months or in years in some cases and just felt awful about it. I think because of the finality of it all. I was worried that he would do the same, right? So I kind of stayed close to him and at first I just tried talking to him. He seemed, though, to be dealing with it by not talking about it and focusing on other things, right? Things that he liked, right? Like his phone, games, and things that made him happy. And at his age, I'll never forget this, at his age, 13, if I did that or I saw someone doing that, I took that to be incredibly disrespectful to the person that had just died. This is my thinking. Someone close to you dies and you're so fast to put them out of your mind, right? Carrying on and laughing like they never existed, But again, that's how I used to deal with it. Not everyone sees it that way. He was still pretty shaken up last Thursday. So I gave him the option of not training. We train on Thursdays and Sundays. And so I just said, hey, just come to the gym and help me time my rest intervals. So he took that option and he sat that one out. And by the looks of him, he was still pretty shaken up. When Sunday rolled around, which was our next scheduled workout, he again asked if he could sit it out. And I thought about that for a little bit. And then I said, no. I said, you need to get back on the horse and ride, or at least try to. Long story short, kiddo, before we even got started, he put a 20-pound weight vest on, and he just started walking around the gym kind of like aimlessly. His workout hadn't even started yet, so I didn't say anything. The next thing I know, the next thing I saw, it shocked the hell out of me. He did two solid chin-ups with a 20-pound weight vest. And then, the biggest smile that you've ever seen came across his face. And from there, he even did an uneven chin-up, right? The same way you saw in Rocky, the original Rocky movie. Now this, from a kid who could not perform even a quarter chin-up less than a year ago, he was over the moon, and Dad was too, right? Because I just love seeing him get stronger and make progress. And that was a very important moment because, a greater fear in me was kind of lurking when he initially got upset. So look, it's no secret on this program. I have not kept my family's history, with depression from anyone. And I do that in the hopes that it helps other people. But, of course, along with that comes the horrible consequences of it if you don't get it under control. And I've lost more than one family member to suicide. So you can just imagine how worried I was, right, about Nicholas. Again, we all have different ways of dealing with death. And I personally beat myself up for a long time, months or even years. He's trying to distract himself. Some people turn to alcohol and drugs, right? Some run to the doctor to get the legal drugs. But everyone, everywhere, experiences death sooner or later. It's just, right? It's just a matter of time and how you deal with it. What I'm getting at is this. The next time grief, extreme grief, sets in your life and you have to deal with it, please don't forget exercise to begin the healing. Because I honestly think that was his moment where he started healing again. It was the first time I saw him smile, and the first time I saw him happy after being way down, you know, for several days. In my opinion, exercise is the best antidepressant that there is. So the next time death gets you down, you know, please do consider training as a form of therapy. It is really helping my son. I know it certainly kept me sane, you know, during my worst times, and I hope it can do the same for you. So
way back in like 2006 and 2007, one of my earliest shows I did showed that exercise was more effective than Zoloft at mitigating major depressive disorder. Think about it.
It doesn't surprise me. And it doesn't come along with the suicide risk. Right?
Or anything else. I mean, people who go on SSRIs, their lives are screwed. They don't feel anything anymore.
And you know, right? So you sit back and ask yourself, is that really a way to go through life?
No.
Now, right. And now at the time of extreme depression, somebody might say, well, it's better than feeling like you're 10,000 feet underwater. And I can see that. I get that. I understand that. But at some point, you know, you have to ask yourself, if I go through the rest of my life without feeling anything, is life going to be worth living? I mean, I've seen people get that low after they get on anti. It stops them from hurting momentarily. And my point is, and then a deeper hurt settles in. I can't imagine having less hope than getting up every day and thinking, I'm not going to experience, you know, joy. I'm not going to experience happiness. And I'll give you a great example. They put me on, it might have been Zoloft, I don't know. And I remember this because the gym was keeping me sane. I remember going to the gym. I remember hitting PRs. And I remember walking out of the gym like nothing happened.
Like it wasn't even enjoyable.
Like it wasn't even enjoyable. Like the 35 years that I put into it to get to this point meant nothing. And God, that's a terrible thing.
You know, right? You know what's really funny? I find this so... I feel like I'm watching a movie sometimes when it comes to this topic. We have people killing people, and the guns aren't the problem. I mean, I can give you statistics. I'm an NRA member. I hunt. I own guns. And that's not the problem. But I'll tell you what I think is the problem. Every single person who has been involved in a mass shooting, all the way back to the guy in the Texas bookstore tower, have been on antipsychotic drugs of some sort. Some kind of mind-altering drugs. And, you know, I find it perplexing that the pharmaceutical industry has done something to sidestep even the question of it. Let's say I'm wrong. Maybe 80% of them have been on mind-altering drugs, and the other 30% weren't, right? But it's not even in the discussion. The discussion is exclusively AR-15s and AK-47s. It's exclusively the gun's fault. Meanwhile, more people die every year from stabbings than from AR-15s and and AK-47s combined. And no one's going after the knives. But that's because I'm starting to think that the pharmaceutical industry is actually behind this fervor to make the gun the problem, because they don't want anybody to step back and go, oh, he was on an antidepressant? Oh, he was on an antidepressant? That kid in Parkland, he was on antidepressants? The guy in the book tower in Texas, he was on an antipsychotic drug? Wait a minute. The problem is the drugs.
Yeah, and it starts with the naming, okay? You said it. These are mind-altering drugs.
I mean, think about it. If you're a guy, nothing makes you happy anymore. Your life is this doldrum. You wake up in the morning, you go to sleep, you question your own existence. Why? Why should I even exist? Then people start to annoy you. You think, man, people annoy the crap out of me. I really hate people. You know what? I'm going to kill myself. But before I kill myself, I'm going to kill some of these annoying people and take them with me.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up, and more than one of those mass shooters made the comment or something similar to the effect of this. I felt like a nobody. I wanted to be a somebody.
Yeah.
And how do you become a somebody in their mind? You know, you kill as many people as you can before putting one in your head. And you're going to go down in history as the greatest mass murderer, you know, of whatever school shootings in the United States.
See, and the pharmaceutical industry has a very, very strategic obstacle protecting them. It's called HIPAA.
Yeah. Can't sue them.
But see, well, no, not that they can't sue them, but they won't divulge the health records of another person.
Yeah.
But
right.
I really think that the government that always wants to run our lives should go, well, in these 16 cases, we want to know, were these people on antidepressants?
And you know what? They have an obligation to do that, because I'll compare it to an airplane crash. When an airplane crashes, the National Transportation Safety Board investigates it. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. It may take a year and a half. But ultimately, they get down to what caused it. And more importantly, how can we prevent this in the future?
And you know correct, that the NTSB finds out if that pilot was on they just prescribed him new antidepressant meds, huh?
Yeah.
No, you don't think HIPAA's, oh no, we can't talk about that. Bush, tell us
right
now. We need to know that now.
They'll chalk that up to pilot error.
No. Make no mistake, folks. This show isn't about this, but make no mistake, it's just a matter of time before the truth comes out that all these people trying to kill mass murderers, they're all on antipsychotic drugs, they're all on SSRIs, they're all on some sort of mind-altering drugs being prescribed by their doctors. I mean, hell, Robin Williams was told he had Parkinson's disease. Robin Williams became depressed. That's a good reason. I'd be depressed, too, if I found that I had Parkinson's disease, right?
Right.
So what did they do? They put him on antidepressants, and he hangs himself.
Right. Right.
I mean, come on. Give me a break. The guy was depressed because he had Parkinson's disease. So let's put him on a drug that takes depressed people and gives them a tendency to commit suicide. And then no one questioned the fact. Nobody ever came out and said, oh, why did he commit suicide? Oh, well, he was depressed because he had Parkinson's. Yeah, but didn't you guys... Don't forget, wait a minute. You're a wrestling enthusiast. Okay. There was a wrestler in Florida that killed his children, killed his wife, and then killed himself.
Atlanta.
Yeah. And he had so many TBIs that he was on all these different mind-altering drugs. He was on SSRIs. He was on a schizophrenia drug. He was on all these drugs. But what did they zoom in on? He had the testosterone level 10 times higher than the average man.
Right.
Well, it had nothing to do with all the mind-altering drugs he was taking, but right? I'm telling you, we are being hoodwinked. We are being sold a bill of goods by the pharmaceutical industry and this complicit government that is covering up the fact that all these crazy people that want to kill all these other people, they're all on antidepressants. And we can.
Yeah.
You want to know what? I say, okay, I'm an NRA member. I'm all about the Second Amendment. But I think that if you're on an antidepressant, you got to turn your guns in for a while. I'm cool with that. Look, that goes for me, too, because I'll never be on an antidepressant. But
yeah.
I think that's okay. Look, you own guns, antidepressant. Yeah. We're going to have you surrender your guns to a family member or to local authorities. You can't have your guns until you're off your SSRIs. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's logical. That makes sense. But here's you brought up a great point, though. As someone who went through this, I'm going to throw up the caution/danger flag. There might be an SSRI that works for you, but your doctor, in the course of practicing medicine, is going to run you through the gamut of a half a dozen, a dozen, however many it takes, right? In the course of doing so, there's a really good chance that you're going to be prescribed something that makes you suicidal. And that exact thing happened to me. I've never been suicidal in my life. And I forget which one it was. Effexor, whatever the heck that is.
Yeah, Effexor is an SSRI, yeah.
For the 2 weeks that I was on that, honest to God, I was suicidal. I first woke up every day thinking, you know what? Today wouldn't be a bad day to die. Matter of fact, it'd be a relief. And when I finally, you know, started to talk to people, they're like, you know, that in and of itself is a suicidal thought. A suicidal thought doesn't need to be, I'm going to, you know, slit my wrist or put a bullet in my head. It can simply be, you know what, man, today'd be a great day to die in an auto accident. It's sick.
It's subtle. And it's a subtle shift in your mindset, a very, very subtle shift in your mindset.
And you don't realize how bad it is until you come off and you're like this outside observer looking back and thinking, my God, did that make me sick? I mean, really?
I know people that have been on SSRIs their entire life.
Wow.
I mean, I can't even imagine it. I can't imagine that life has a whole lot of meaning for them. I think that it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Some people do well with it. I'm sure there's some people that will say, Carl, my life was horrible until SSRIs. Okay, you're one of the people that it works for. But you shouldn't own a gun. That's all.
Yeah.
And I'm carrying right now. I got guns. I love guns. I've been hunting and shooting guns since I was in my teens. I'm a big-time Second Amendment rights. I don't think that anybody needs to have their guns taken away. We have more than enough laws out there if we just started to apply them to change things. But let's stop ignoring the 6-million-pound gorilla in the room, that all these people do mass murders. They're all effed up in the head, and they're on some sort of drug.
Yeah, the only gun I've owned is a squirt gun, but I'm 100% on board with your position. It's just the common denominator here is people on antidepressant drugs, not the fact that they have guns.
So there was a guy 2 years ago going on local radio, going on AM radio stations all over the country, and he had done the research, and he was going on and saying, the reason I know that the guy from the Texas Book Tower was on an antipsychotic drug was because this guy I heard.
Yep.
And he had done all the research, and he wanted to know why the government and the big pharma wasn't looking into the relationship between mass shootings and SSRIs. And he was on Terry Miner's show on 840 WHAS here in town. And I emailed Terry, I know him, and I said, can you put me in touch with this guy? And he put me in touch with the guy. And I had one conversation with the guy. Called him up. I said, would you come on my show? I know this isn't like the typical wheelhouse, but, you know, mental health is a big thing and all this sort of stuff. He said, absolutely. And then I kind of forgot about him. I sent them a couple emails. They didn't bounce back. I never got a reply. I called the cell phone number I had for him. It was disconnected. It rang, and then it just, you know, nobody ever answered. No, that was it. And I thought to myself, I wonder what happened with that guy. And I haven't thought about it from that point till now. You would think that this guy would be out there and talking this. I don't know what happened to him, why he silenced himself, why he got silenced. I don't know what happened. But he was going on AM radio stations all over the country saying it's time to look at SSRIs and mass shootings.
I have no doubt that he was silenced by other people.
I'm sure that the pharmaceutical industry said, look, we're going to sue you into the ground. Yeah. Your children won't see sunlight when we're done with it.
And they have unlimited resources, yeah. and he doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, that's an interesting discussion. All right.
Great show, man.
I feel pretty terrible, but I'm going to go home early and have some chicken soup.
Yeah, get a good night's sleep too, okay?
11 hours. I'm going to sleep 11 hours. I'm going to sleep at 6 o'clock tonight.
Awesome.
I want to get back into the gym. That's what I miss right now. All right, thanks for a great show, Rob. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.
Thanks.